I praise the Lord for this World Missions Conference, and I praise the Lord for, I feel especially blessed tonight. This is the first time this has ever happened that I am getting to preach on the same program with my nephew, Joey. Amen. And I thought tonight when he stood up, I thought, well, that's a blessing, isn't it? Boy, my nephew, really my namesake, he's named after me. And here he's preaching, I'm preaching, got two Joe West preaching. Amen. Well, I tell you, the great thing may not be what the preaching we do, but I tell you, it's great that God's called him and called me both to preach, and it's great that God's called so many of you here also to preach the gospel. And I praise the Lord for it tonight, and I'm glad that you're here, and I'm thankful to be a part of this World Missions Conference. Open your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Brother Kincaid said take all the time I wanted. Amen. And I say this in the right way. I really try to preach until I get through, and I try to preach when I'm through. I mean, I try to stop when I'm through. Amen. I almost said it like sometimes maybe I've done it. I try to stop when I'm through, all right? I know that you heard about the fellow that visited the church and heard someone kind of like myself or Brother Brent, you know, preach. And someone finally said, when's he going to get through? And the member said, he's been through a long time. He just won't quit. Amen. Abraham Lincoln said to his preacher, when you run out of lather, you know, quit. Amen. When you run out of lather, quit. Amen. So I'll try to do that. It's good to have my dad here tonight, by the way. It's wonderful what God's done in the West family. If you'd known the West family back, and days gone by, back in those earlier years, and if you'd have guessed what we were going to be when we grew up, you'd have guessed everything but be preachers and missionaries, I'll guarantee you. We were good candidates for everything but being in God's work. But that's the grace of God. Yeah, that's the grace of God. And, well, praise the Lord. I don't know what is around here. I notice all these guys carrying these key rings. Is that the qualification for being a member here? I don't have any belt loops, brother. I mean, some way you gotta have a big old, huh? I carry mine in my coat pocket, you know, but I don't have any of these hanging on you. Do you? Give you my coat, amen. I'll tell you frankly why, as people say, why do you wear a suit? I wear a suit because I carry stuff in here and here and here and here. I just can't carry it all. And you guys, I don't know where you carry all your stuff. Where do you carry your stuff at? Huh? Mercy. I've got every pocket I've got full of junk. I don't know how you get by without it. Dwight L. Moody went to England, and while he was there on one of the trips, he heard a fellow say, this was really an uneducated coal miner that God had saved and called to preach. He heard him say one night, the world has yet to see what God could do through one man wholly dedicated to God. And in that prayer meeting that night, Dwight L. Moody said in his heart, by the help of God, I'll be that man. Tonight, I want to say, as taking off from that, I think the world has yet to see what God could do through one church that really took the Great Commission seriously.
Amen. Amen.
The world has yet to see what God could do through one church who took the Great Commission seriously. And I want to preach about that tonight, taking the Great Commission seriously. You know, we take a lot of things literally that we don't take seriously. See, a lot of people take the Bible literally. I mean, they don't spiritualize it. They take it literally, but they don't take it seriously. And a lot of churches and a lot of people in churches take the Great Commission literally, but they don't take it seriously. And tonight, I'd like just to consider the Great Commission and really what happens when you take the Great Commission seriously. We started Town East Baptist Church. I think I mentioned last night back in May of 1958, And for the first 4 years, from 1958 until 1962, our main concern was trying to build a church ourselves. And even though we had I can't call it a missionaries program, we gave to missions. We took up offerings for missionaries. And we tried various ways of doing it. We tried taking a Wednesday night offering. All our Wednesday night offerings went to missions. And that didn't amount to a whole lot. And so we tried Sunday night's offering. That still didn't amount to much. And we tried special offerings. We tried all kinds of things. But we didn't really get concerned until 1962. And one day, as I was praying in the back of the little storefront building we started the church in, God really spoke to my heart. And I've been so concerned about all the things we needed, and we had nothing, really. We didn't own a thing in the world. Even the chairs we had were borrowed. The building was rented. My pulpit was a cardboard box that was painted brown with shine over shoe polish. And we didn't have a thing. We didn't have nothing. And we kept thinking, we need this, we need that. And God said to me, that day as I was praying, God said to me, the verse I quoted last night, there in Mark, I believe it is. Anyway, Mark 4, I believe it is, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. And God said that to me. And God got my eyes up off of us and off of ourselves. And God got me to looking on the fields. And I said that day, Lord, if we don't do anything else, if we never own a stick of furniture, if I never have a real, genuine wooden pulpit, if we never have a great, big church, whatever, dear God, we're going to get involved in world missions. And we planned our first world missions conference in 1962 and planned to have it in October and had it in October, by the way. And from that day until this day, that's been 27 years ago, we have tried with all of our heart to take the Great Commission seriously. I have, as a pastor, I have tried to impart that to my church and to people to take the Great Commission seriously. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, that is to the disciples, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Amen. Mark chapter 16, verse 15, the same commission. Or I say the same, the commission is repeated. Go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every creature. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, but ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witness unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And throughout the Word of God, the Great Commission in one sense or another is given. We have a great commission, a great command. We have orders, I mean from God Himself. And we need to take the Great Commission seriously. Now, I want to tell you not what I found out happens when you take the Great Commission seriously. I want to tell you what probably you have already found out some of this here in your church if you take the Great Commission seriously. And I don't say it as a warning. I mean, I don't say it to make you afraid, but there's nothing to be afraid of. Brother, if we're doing the will of God, we have nothing to fear. The only thing I know that I would ever need to fear is if I stop doing the will of God. Brother, I'll tell you, man, the will of God is bulletproof. He's kill proof. I mean, he's injury proof. Brother, if you're in the will of God, nothing will happen to you that God doesn't let happen. Amen. Amen. And the same is true of a church, brother. And so I'm saying tonight, here are the things that I see happens when you take the Great Commission seriously. First of all, the church that takes the Great Commission seriously is going to have all the onslaughts of hell turned against it. I mean, brother, my granddad on my mother's side, Mr. Tubb, used to tell me, any old chunk can float downstream. I didn't know really what he meant by that. I understand now what he means. He means that, you know, you take and throw an old chunk of wood in the water, and it just floats along with the current, you know. I mean, you never saw a chunk swimming upstream. All right. And he was saying, now, son, you need to have some ambition. You need to, you know, don't go along with the crowd. You know, go against the stream and so forth. And I'm saying tonight to you that a church brother, as long as it goes along with the crowd, it just floats down the stream and there's no opposition. Everything's floating the same direction. But brother, when a church wakes up and says, well, you know, we're going to take the Great Commission seriously and starts going this direction, brother, boom, 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 and all hell breaks loose. Amen. And I mean that literally, all hell. I'm not cussing now. All hell breaks loose. I mean, brother, I mean, the devil pulls out, brother, his 75 millimeter cannons. Amen. I mean, brother, he stokes up, brother, and gets ready for that church that's taking the Great Commission seriously. Why? Why? I'll tell you, because, brother, this church now, for the first time, is a threat, brother, to his work. Brother, I mean, folks tell me, you know, the devil don't bother me. Well, I would admit it. Amen. I would admit that. I mean, you know what you're saying? You're saying I'm nothing to the devil. Man, I'll tell you what, I hope when I die, the devil will say, man, I'm glad he's gone. Amen. Amen. I hate to live on this earth and cumber this earth, you know, and take of the riches and the fatness of this earth, brother, and not somehow be a threat to the devil. Amen. Amen. I'm saying tonight, listen, when the church takes the Great Commission seriously, brother, the devil is going to unleash all of his super... Brother Ken K, you was talking last night about the devil working on this side of town. Hey, he's working here in this church. You know why? Brother, because you've taken the Great Commission seriously. I mean, you got in earnest, and I'm talking about you and the church have gotten in earnest. I mean, you mean business. You mean to do this job. And brother, the devil doesn't like it. Well, you know, I decided this. You either got to build a great church, or I say a great church, build a big church. We've built a great church, and you've built a great church. You've either got to build a big church, or else just obey God, which are the two you want to do. Now, I don't know whether you can do both. I really don't know. But I told this, brother, you're not going to draw the thousands of people flocking over here, brother, when you're up here, brother, appealing for folks to give themselves, for people to die themselves, for people to give up their land and their culture and their families, and brother, to give up out of Jesus. If any man will follow me, brother, he's going to deny himself, take up his cry, follow me. Brother, the crowd don't want to hear that. The crowd never has wanted to hear that. But I tell you, I want to hear it. Amen. I'm glad I heard it. I believe it tonight. And thank God tonight for the Great Commission. Amen. And thank God we can be a part of it. And I'm saying this, oh brother, and I know this, I've seen it in Town East, and you're sitting in any church. Brother, when you take the Great Commission seriously, I'm saying the devil will unleash, brother, his SS troops against you. Amen. The second thing that happens when the church takes the Great Commission seriously is, brother, it'll trigger criticism even from with its own body. You know what I've had people say to me? Well, you know, Brother Joe, I don't understand. We can raise 200,000 for missions. Why can't we, you know, we could use some of that money here. You know, if we can waste 200,000 remissions, why can't we do this, or why can't we do that, or why can't we do something else? Well, we're doing other things. But you see, God didn't call us to raise a missionary money and then spend it on ourselves. Amen. I mean, that's dishonest. Amen. Not only is it dishonest, it's unscriptural. God help us to realize, listen, we've got 6%. 6% of the world's population in America. 6%. And yet we spend 91% of all of our offerings in America on the 6%. There's something messed up about that. Something doesn't fit about that. Amen? I mean, brother, Paul, but I'm not saying that you should be burdened and others should be eased. I'm saying we should have an equality. Amen? There should be an equality. Brother, I tell you, a church ought to have at least half of its giving, brother, committed to the mission field, and I think beyond that. But I'm saying, brother, when you take the Great Commission seriously, even from within its own church family, there'll be criticism. I understand why we send all that money off the mission field. And look what we could do here. Look what we need here. Look at all the lost people here. I know all of that.
Brother, you know what we're doing? We're doing the job, God helping us. We're trying to do the job at home and abroad at the same time. We have not neglected the home field. We're working, brother, I don't mean just on our side of town. We're working on your side of town too, by the way. Amen. I mean, and you're working, I hope, on our side. This is our field. Amen. This is preparing away the whole thing. And we're working here and there. And yet, at the same time, through our missionaries, we're working out around the world. And yet, many times the church, within the own church family, there'll be that disgruntled feeling, that critical spirit, because you're raising so large sums of money and sending off to the mission field. Look what we could do here, Brother Kincaid. You gave how much last year to missions?
$99,000.
Man, just think what you could do here at Oak Knoll, huh? Mercy. $99,000? And how much the year before?
About
the same thing. That's $200,000, brother. Wow. $100,000 a year, brother. It wouldn't take long, to really mount up to real money. Huh? I mean, that is real money, amen? That's what I'm saying, amen? Yeah, that's kind of like, a million here and a million there. Pretty soon you're talking about real money, amen? $200,000 in the last 2 years. Man alive, what you could build here. Think of all the buses you could buy, the nice vans, and put on there the gatherings in Jesus' name on there and drive all over town and sport that off. And think of all the things you could do. Mercy. You could build a preacher a brand new home. Buy him a Mercedes. Sure. Amen. Yeah. Yeah, build a bowling alley. You could build a family life center, You could build whatever. The church that takes the Great Commission seriously is going to have criticism from within its own ranks. And if you're here and you're part of that, I hope that God will speak to your heart this week. I hope God will speak to your heart this week. And listen, not just because of what I'm saying, but I mean, I hope that somehow you'll stop and really take stock. People say, we got lost people here. I know we have, but for the most part, the lost people here are lost because they want to be lost. They have every opportunity in the world. They're like the fat man that wants to, he's willing to do anything in the world to lose weight except stop eating, And they're willing to be saved if they could just be saved without stopping their sinning, But I'm saying the most of the people here have not only heard the gospel, they have heard it and reheard it. Amen? And reheard it. They can tell you the gospel. Amen? Sure. That's one of the problems in a lot of our churches, brother. We fed the first rows until they're fat. Folks say, I'm not getting fed over my church. I'm not getting fed. Are you fat slob, you? Huh? You don't need to be fed. You need to be burped. Amen? Not getting fed at my church. There's enough spiritual food laying on the floor after the service over there, swept up and thrown out in the trash can to feed. I mean, man, you get fed and just drools over, brother, slopped over like Luby's cafeteria. And yet out there on the fields, there are people who've never had, not even one little plate, not even one little bowl of gospel food. And how can you resent that? How can you say what you say? How can you think in your heart what you're thinking? Oh my, we're doing that. I don't understand why Brother Kincaid, they believe doing that. I'll tell you why, because it's God's command.
Amen.
It's a great commission. But I'm saying the church that takes the Great Commission seriously is going to be a threat to the kingdom of the devil and have all of the troops of hell unleashed against it. And the church that takes the Great Commission seriously, brother, is going to have criticism from within its own ranks. Hey, we have it at Town East. We have the grumblers and mumblers. We just go on and do what God told us to do. The third thing, the church that takes the Great Commission seriously is going to be disliked by many of its own like churches, sister churches, whatever you want to call them.
You know, man, you take a church and say, man, praise God, Brother Kincaid. You gave 100,000 missions. But that's wonderful. Oh, no. Proud my foot. Huh? You see, what you have done shows up what they haven't done. You know, when you start doing something, it shows up those who aren't doing nothing. And I'm saying, brother, when you take the Great Commission seriously, even those of like faith, brother, even those sister churches, and I don't mean by name, forget the name, but those who believe the Word of God like you do, brother, you'll find that you kind of rocked the boat there, and they don't like that. I mean, I thought folks would pat me on the back. I mean, because of our involvement in missions, but there's nobody pat me on the back. They're finding things to criticize me about. And the same with your pastor. And the same with any pastor that takes the Great Commission seriously. You know, there's three ways you can assure yourself of not being liked. If you want to be sure to be disliked, you can know more, have more, or do more. Guaranteed to get you disliked. Amen. If you know more, have more, do more. Amen. Brother, doing more shows up those who aren't doing anything or who are doing very little. Makes them stick out like a sore thumb. Huh? Of course, they'll say, well, you know, we've got other things to do. I know. But I'm saying tonight, brother, we need to take the Great Commission seriously.
Amen.
But when we do, it is going to cause even some of our fellow churches to be upset and to be critical of what we're doing. Man, you ask some people about me and you think if you didn't know me, you think I was, you know, Black Bart and Jesse James and whoever else you can think of bad, but all rolled together. I hope I'm not that bad. The fourth thing I'd say tonight is this. The church that takes the Great Commission seriously will be avoided by half-hearted Christians.
Amen.
Man, we've had lots of folks that were, prime suspects to join our church until they found out we was committed to world missions. I mean, really committed. I mean, that we really took it seriously. I mean, they thought our church was fine. But brother, when they found out, brother, that we really meant business about world missions, I mean, a lot of them just kind of pass us by on the other side.
Yeah.
The truth of the matter is, folks, we've got more half-hearted Christians in the world than we've got full-hearted Christians.
That's right. Amen. Yeah. That's right.
I mean, it is sad. It's heartbreaking. But we've got a lot more people. You know, I'd like to think that everybody really meant business for God and everybody really wanted, you know, to go full speed for God. But the truth is most folks don't. I wish they did. If they did, your church would be, I mean, you'd have to build four more, brother. You'd have to knock all the walls out. But I'm saying, brother, the church that takes the Great Commission seriously is going to be avoided by half-hearted Christians. And that's where so many Christians are today, is half-hearted. You can see them, you know, when you get up and you start preaching, brother, about commitment, being sold out and so forth, and you see them blanch, you know, swallow hard. And brother, as soon as the invitation, brother's over, they beat it for the car and they're gone. And that's the last you saw of them. I visited a family some time ago that represents what I'm talking about, and this is honest goodness truth. This is not a preacher's story, okay? I'm telling the truth now, okay? This fellow visited our church, he and his wife, and so I went to visit them. And we chatted for a few minutes about, you know, this and that and the other. And finally I said, well, what do you think about our church? He said, man, he said, you got some church. He said, I'll tell you what I've done, Pastor West. He said, we visited and he named another church over there on our side of town. He said, we visited that church and said, man, that church is dead as a doornail. He said, so we came the next Sunday and visited your church. He said, man, your church ain't dead. He said, man, wow. You know, I said, what a contrast, what a difference. I'm in a dead church, and this church, man, is going, you know, full steam ahead. He said, now what we're looking for is one kind of in the middle. Honest. Cross mark, that's what he said. Hey, at least he was honest. Huh? At least he told the honest to goodness truth. He said, I'm looking for one kind of in the middle. That's where a lot of Christians want to be, just in the middle. Huh? And the church really putting full steam ahead, brother. I mean, folks are going to come and visit here. They'll like your singing. They'll like the preaching, the freedom, and what have you. But brother, when you get down to commitment, brother, they're going to say, "So long, it's been good to know you." Amen. Now, what are you going to do? You can do one of two things. You can just keep on going full steam ahead and please God, or you can just compromise, back up, and please the crowd. Amen. And I'd rather please God. Amen. Please God. Oh, I'm talking about taking the Great Commission seriously. 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 Brother, listen. I believe, you know, I don't understand. I know there's only one way of being saved. There's only one salvation. I know that. There's only one Savior. But you know, you look at some folks and you wonder, did the same Jesus save them that saved me? I mean, what? I don't understand. You know, I mean, I got saved and he got saved, and yet, I mean, I don't, it just means different. It seems like it means more to me or something different to me than this fellow over here. I don't understand that. And I'm not patting myself on the back. I am a man of black passion, Brother Brent. I really am. I know that. But I'm just telling you honest goodness truth. There's something inside of me that just can't be content just to drift along and be an average, everyday, run-of-the-mill kind of Christian. I mean, I gotta be more than that. I'm gonna be more than that. And I don't understand. I don't know, because I mean, I know that Jesus saved me and Jesus saved this man. What's the difference? Well, I guess it's a matter of just what you desire. What's where your desire is. But thank God for a church that takes the Great Commission seriously. And I'm saying the church that takes the Great Commission seriously, brother, is going to be avoided by half-hearted Christians. The fifth thing I'd say tonight is this. The church that takes the Great Commission seriously can count on having God's blessings.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, sir. I'm saying, brother, when you take the Great Commission seriously, brother, God takes you seriously. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Brother, I tell you what, I believe God up in heaven, brother, is looking for a church.
Amen.
And God's looking for a people that mean business with God.
Amen.
And brother, I know you'll be avoided by Christians, and I know that you'll have criticism within your own church, and I know that some of the sister churches won't like you, and I know that that half-hearted Christians will not want to come to your church, and God will be here.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God will be here, brother. Hallelujah, brother. I'm saying the church, the Great Commission seriously, can count on God, brother.
Amen.
I'm not, you listen, I don't have to ever pray and say, God, I hope you'll meet with us this morning. I tell you what, brother, I think when you take the Great Commission seriously, you can count on the fact that God's going to meet with you. Amen. God, listen, I hope you'll meet our need, brother. I think you can be assured that God's going to meet your need. Amen. Brother, doesn't God's word say, give and it shall be given unto you? Isn't that what God says? Give, and it shall be given unto you. That means me. That means us, the church. Brother, give, God said. And as you give, that's what I'm going to give. Amen?
Amen.
Give, and it's going to be given unto you. Pressed down. Shaken together.
Amen.
Amen. And running over.
Amen.
Man, listen. I'll tell you, we can depend on God's blessing if we take the Great Commission seriously. You know why? Because God takes it seriously. You know, the nearest thing to God's heart and the dearest thing to God's heart was His Son, His only begotten Son. How does God feel about His Son, Jesus? He loves His Son. Amen? The dearest, dearest thing to Him. And brother, if that's true, and I believe it is true, then it's got to be true. It's got to follow that the dearest thing to God now is that we take out that message about His Son. That we take that message around the world. His dad. Die sinners, amen. And that's what the Great Commission is. And if we take that seriously, brother, I mean, that excites God. Amen. That excites God. You say, you think God gets excited? I think God gets excited. Amen. I think God blesses the church that takes the Great Commission seriously. Brother, I'm just saying we can count on God's blessing. I mean, some folks, Brother Kincaid, they'll sell up in a church. They don't like the way the program's going. You know what they do? They sit on their billfold. I'll fix that preacher. I'll show them. I'll starve them out. Boy, you got a long wait. Amen?
Amen.
I tell you what. Listen, that's what you'll do. You'll be like those guys that waited for Paul, you know. They took a vow. Said, we're not going to eat. We won't eat until we kill them. Man, they got awful hungry, didn't they? Amen? Man, if they really meant that, brother, they're out there somewhere, laid out there dead, brother. Like that. Amen? And if you think you can starve out of church, brother, that takes the Great Commission seriously, you got another thing coming. You can take all your money, you can set up, brother, until it starts turning moldy, brother, and God's going to keep on blessing that church.
Amen.
Amen. He'll bless it from the people within. He'll bless it from people without. Brother, He'll do whatever He needs to do, brother, to bless that church.
Amen.
Man, listen, look what God's built here for you.
Right.
Amen. And when I say He's built it, I mean He's given the wherewithal to build it.
Right.
And all except a
few thousand dollars, like you said, you borrowed money for the carpet. It's all paid for. Is that right? Huh? Isn't that wonderful? Paid for. Well, that's good. I mean, and I think if you pay real hard, the carpet will get paid for. Amen? All be debt free. But I'll tell you what, that's the way we do around town East. I mean, everything what's paid for. We don't borrow money. We bill what we got money to bill with. We don't have anything to bill, we just stop. Amen. But everything we got there, you come over and look at what we got, and it's all paid for.
Amen.
Who paid for it? God did.
Amen.
God sent the funds in. You know, I got to thinking some time back, and I was reporting to our people that during the period of time from 1962 until this last year, that we've given $1.5 million to missions.
Amen.
Our church.
Praise
$1.5 million. Now you think about that. That gets you kind of excited.
Amen.
Wow. What a blessing. And then God just said, hey, son, let me remind you of something else. He said, you know that piece of property you bought out there and paid cash for out there on I-10? 35 acres? Just evaluated the other day at $1,260,000. Huh? And you know that property you got there on Bible, worth $300,000? What does that figure up to? And I said, about $1.5 million. He said, yeah. Huh? Isn't that neat? You gave $1.5 million to missions, and look what I gave you. $1.5 million in property. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, I God said give, and I'm going to give. Amen? You give abundantly, I'm going to give abundantly. I'm saying, brother, the church that takes the Great Commission seriously can count on God's blessing.
That's right.
The Christian that takes the Great Commission seriously can count on God's blessing.
Amen.
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 Now, I know that a lot of folks don't believe that, and I'm not going to take a lot of time to try to convince all of you, but I am going to take a few minutes, just a minute or two at least, and say this. You know, God says, give, and it shall be given unto you. God says, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, I know a lot of folks say, well, what God's saying here is if you give, then God's going to bless you. Well, okay. What do we mean by bless me? Now, bless me in what way? What is a blessing? Huh? Is it a word? Huh? Is it a feeling? Is it, what is a blessing? God's going to bless me. I tell you what I believe. I believe God's going to bless a church materially, and God's going to bless an individual materially as we give to God. Not in order that we might stack it up and fill our pockets up and fill up our bank accounts. You see, people have said to me, well, Brother Joe, what you're preaching is you're saying that you give to get. And I say, yeah, that's right. I give to get. To give.
Amen.
To get.
Amen.
To give.
Amen.
I do give to get. You know, if I didn't give to get, if I gave, I've given out. If I don't get and give back, if I don't get back after I give, then I give one time and I'm shot. Huh? I mean, it's like that little rifle of mine. I got a one shotter. You know, once I shoot it one time, it's out till I open it up and put something else in it. Amen. And brother, if I give and God doesn't give me something to put back in the barrel, I don't got another shoot. Amen. God says, whatsoever man soweth, that shall also reap. Isn't that God? If you sow the wind, you reap the whirlwind. If you sow the flesh, you reap the flesh corruption. If you sow the spirit, you reap of the spirit life everlasting. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. I mean, you reap after its kind. Whatever you sow, that's what you reap. If I go out and dig a garden out there and I plant oak seed, brother, and I go out there and I got watermelons growing out there, I'm concerned. I'm really concerned, brother. If I plant oak seed, I expect I'm going to get okra coming up. Amen. If I plant tomato seeds, and I've never planted a tomato seed, but anyway, if you plant, let's say, potato eyes or whatever, you expect to get what you plant. And I believe that a church, I believe an individual, if we give, God gives back to us in kind.
Amen.
And praise the Lord. I'm saying the church that takes the Great Commission seriously can count on having God's blessing. And I believe a part of that blessing is material blessing. You know what I believe tonight? Boy, I said we're going to take a long, but I feel impressed to take another minute. I believe a lot of God's people run from the blessing of God. Could I say something tonight and say it? Please take this from my heart to you and at least think about it. Being poor is not any special sign of spirituality.
That's right.
Say, man, I can't even pay my bills. Man, you must really love God then, huh? I can't pay my bills. I can't buy food. I'm about to starve. Well, you must really love God, Huh? We have the idea that we equate spirituality with poverty. And if a person comes into the assembly and he is prosperous and does well, we think, well, he just, in our heart, secretly, we think, well, I bet he don't love God. He couldn't, he must not love God like I do. He wouldn't have all that money. Huh? He must compromise. He must be a crook or something. I mean, something's not right. He could have money. I mean, here I am. You know, I'm saying we run from God's blessing. Because we gotta, our mind's messed up. We gotta have the idea that somehow, that, sure, I know the Bible says the poor you have with you always, but God didn't say that you are the poor. He said the poor you have with you always. Amen? I mean, was Abraham a dirt poor farmer? Or what was he? I mean, was Noah built a ship, brother, big enough to take, I mean, two of every kind of the unclean and seven of every kind of the clean animal. Brother, he had some ship and nobody took up a love offering to help him build that. And God didn't drop the planks out of the heaven on top of his head. He had to go out to the lumber yard or wherever it was that day and buy all the material to build that ark with. What do you think he got the money for? I think, brother, he gave and God gave to him. I think God prospered him. Isaac, David, I mean Solomon, I mean brother Jacob, going through the scripture and you find brother right over Joseph and Zacchaeus and whatever. I mean, brother, men that prospered. And I don't know why I feel impressed by this, but I'm talking about the blessing of God, and I'm saying the church that honors God and takes the Great Commission seriously can count on the blessing of God. But you can't count on it if you somehow inside of you think it's wicked to have more than just enough to barely get by. Well, you say the reason I don't have more is I give everything away. Hey, the Bible says, brother, there is that watereth, he that watereth shall be watered also himself. Amen? I mean, the Bible says, brother, there is that giveth and yet has more, brother. I mean, when he gives away and yet he has more, has an abundance. You can't, how can you in the world give to God? You can't give to God faster than give it back to you.
Right. Amen.
Yeah. I know that some of you are resisting this, and I don't know, Brother Kincaid. If this is heresy, you'll have to correct this after I leave tonight, okay? And I'm not here preaching, someone said, well, that sounds like the prosperity gospel. Oh, fiddlesticks. I'll tell you what it sounds like to me. It sounds like the Bible to me. And again, I'm not saying that God wants you to heap up riches to yourself. You know what the Bible says about that. But brother, I'm saying this, if God can use a man who makes $2,000 a month and make him a blessing in the church or a blessing in the mission field, why couldn't God use a man that makes $5,000 a month or $10,000? Amen? I mean, if God really gets a man's heart, brother, then whatever he's got his bill for, be it a little or much, God's got that bill for. Amen. And I'm saying that you and I need to expect the blessing of God, material blessing of God, and give abundant to missions, and trust God to give it back to you, so you can give even more. Well, that really wasn't a part of what I had to say, but I feel like I need to say it. I'm saying the church that takes the Great Commission seriously can count on having God's blessing. And then, the last thing, the church that takes the Great Commission seriously will enjoy, I believe, unsubdued rejoicing at the judgment seat.
Amen.
Now folks, I know the judgment seat, all of God's people are going to be there. I don't believe in a split rapture, see. I mean, we were talking tonight about one brother that's a Baptist bride. He believes in the Baptist bride. That's the dumbest thing I ever heard in my life. It really is the dumbest thing I ever heard, seriously. I mean, or any kind of other denomination will say that they're going to be the bride. Listen, all of God's people are going to be the bride. Amen? We're all going to be in the bride. And brother, when the rapture takes place, brother, when that trumpet sounds, I believe all God's people are going to be going up to meet the Lord in the air. I believe that. And brother, the Bible says that we're going to rise to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall ever be with the Lord. But you know, we know that soon as we go up to meet the Lord in the air, there's going to be a judgment seat. Amen? And the Bible says that judgment seat, we're going to receive it for the deeds done in our body, whether good or evil. And those who've taken the Great Commission seriously, brother, I believe will have unsubdued rejoicing, brother. I believe, brother, the folks up there will be doing the handsprings, brother.
Amen.
Leaping around and suddenly say, who's that crowd out there? That's those that took the Great Commission seriously, brother. They're realizing, brother, that what they did was the wisest thing in all the world, brother.
Amen.
The wisest thing in all the world.
Amen.
100 years from now, what really is going to matter to you?
Amen.
100 years from now, what really is going to matter? What really is going to be important? Well, the only thing that really is going to be important 100 years from now is what I did about the Great Commission.
That's right. Amen.
That's all that's really going to matter. If I took it seriously and really gave myself to it. Amen. I believe the judgment seat, brother. You may take issue, but I tell you what, I believe that even though the Apostle Paul will be there, that great giant of God, and I believe brother Peter and James and John, I think of Polycarp, I think of all those great martyrs, I think of all the great men and women of God who will be there, but I'll tell you what, I'm going to be there too. And I tell you, when they're rejoicing, brother, those great giants of faith, I don't believe I'm going to have to slink over in the corner somewhere and hide somewhere and be ashamed and hide my face. I believe I'm going to stand up there and say, praise God.
Amen.
Amen. I know I was a little shocked, but I'll tell you, I was out there shooting right alongside these big shots. Amen.
Right.
I mean, I wasn't all fooling around. I was trying the best. I mean, personally, to get the gospel out. I was trying the best to get my church to get the gospel out. And I believe we'll have unsubdued rejoicing at the judgment seat of Christ.
Amen.
You know, down here at times we have it inside, but we can't get it out. You know, we want to say something. We want to shout. Sometimes we can't really express ourselves, brother. Sometimes I just want to say, woo! Huh? I mean, I feel like the old boy, that friend of mine, pastor friend of mine, got to win this old boy who was a carny, a carnival worker. And this old boy had grown the carnival, and he didn't know a thing. He'd never been at a church. I mean, literally, never been at church in his whole life, but he got truly saved. And this is the truth. It's not a made-up story. And my preacher friend got to win this man to the Lord. And brother, that Sunday when he baptized him, when he brought him by the water, I mean, this guy didn't know how to express. He didn't know hallelujah or praise God or anything. He came and said, "Hot dove, hot dove, hot dove." Man, I mean, that's only a word of expression he knew. Hot dove. Hot dog, amen. Well, brother, I put my feet up in heaven, brother, at the judgment seat. Many of us will be said, hot dog, hot dog. What are you going to say, brother? We'll be saying something, brother. Rejoice. We had enough sense to take the Great Commission seriously and take it to heart. Amen. Amen. Our Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for the people of God who've taken the Great Commission seriously. And our Father, I know that tonight in this church, I preach to some of the best of your people. I know that. I know that God, without any fakery or without any phony baloney, God, I know this is one of the great churches of America. I know that. I believe, dear God, per capita, I believe, dear God, per square inch, there are people here, more people are committed than many, many churches in this country of ours. And yet, Father, tonight, God, I believe that still, Lord, somehow you want to say to us that, God, we need to take the Great Commission seriously. And God, some of us have been going along with it, but we've not really gotten into it. God, some of us have accepted it, but we've not really supported it. Oh, God, help us tonight. Lord, help us, all of us tonight. Lord, help us that we might take the Great Commission seriously. And God, it's good to have a good time. It's good to tell jokes. It's good to laugh. And yet, oh, God, in our heart tonight, Lord, we weep. We really do. I weep tonight. God, my heart is so, as I think about those, dear Lord, out there who have never yet had a chance to hear. God, my heart weeps and my heart breaks. God, tonight I can see them, Lord, those poor lost folks of every tribe and nation. Dear God, I pray, help us. God, help us to take the Great Commission seriously. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Kincaid.